Hey, Street Fight family, it's Brett. I'm doing the intro because Brian did a terrible job. Will did a much better job. This is an episode where I wasn't able to do it because my teeth were getting yanked out of my head. Will Menaker from the Chapo Trap House podcast sat in, as he's done before. If you want to find more of his episodes, go to streetfightradio.com. Go to that search bar. Type in Chapo Trap House, all one word, no spaces in between. I've got all of their shows tagged. There's probably close to 10 with Felix. There's a Kush Bomb one that's probably over 2 years old now. So get in there and check out those old episodes. Look for the tag on our website, Chapo Trap House. Thank you to everybody that continues to support Street Fight and what we do. And if you want to help us out, please consider pre-ordering one of our bootleg t-shirts. All month long, we are taking pre-orders for the Looney Tunes, Bugs, and Taz t-shirt, the old crisscross shirt from the 90s. We remade it, an anarchist communist version. So if you want to let people know at these rallies that you're not a fucking liberal, buy our bootleg t-shirt, help support Street Fight and what we do. We're going to keep it pushing on until November 26th on Saturday, 7 p.m. Doors open at Cafe Kerouac in Columbus, Ohio, where Brian and I will be doing our Make Black Friday Red live show. Please be there. It was a blast last time. It's going to be better this one. So thanks for listening. Let's get to the show.
All right, we're on now.
Okay, so Brett got his wisdom teeth pulled, so this is Street Fight with Brett Payne and Brian Quinby, the number one anarcho comedy show. I'm trying to do all the stuff Brett does, but I cannot do that. But I do have a person that is perfectly capable of it co-hosting with me, but I didn't let him do it. I have Will Menaker from Chapo Trap House.
Hey, it's Street Fight Radio, the number one anarcho-comedy radio show on any station across your nation, WKCRS, live from Columbus, Ohio. It's me, Will Mad Dog Menaker, with Brian, the Madman Quimby, back
now
again.
Now do that as Ben Shapiro.
Street Fight is a disgusting, degenerate show. I don't know. I'm my nose, it fucks it up when I do Ben Shapiro, so...
Yeah, I love it. Somebody wanted to hear that.
Yeah.
So I went out last night on Twitter and said, hey, what do you guys want to hear Will and I talk about so we don't talk about Sons of Anarchy for an hour?
No, we can talk about The Bastard Executioner. We're going to talk about Kurt Sutter's new show. What is his new show?
I got to look it up, man. Is it the Mayan show?
I thought he was doing the Mayan show, but I don't know if they're actually filming that or if that's really going down or not. I need to know what's going on in the Sutterverse.
Have you, speaking of the Sutterverse, and this is just a quick question, did you see Southpaw by any chance?
No, I did not.
Okay, so I didn't either. I'm starting to think that might not be part of the Sutterverse. Okay, Sons of Anarchy star confirms his role in the upcoming Mayans MC spinoff.
Okay,
the guy that played the leader of the Mayans is definitely going to be in there. So that's it. We got a Mayans show, which we will not watch. But
I like that dude a lot. So I may have to check out the Mayans show. I have not. Now, quick digression. I have not seen Southpaw, but I did know that it was written as a vehicle for Eminem to star in. So that's another.
Boxer?
As a boxer, yeah. But I think
okay.
he was
I'm going to see Southpaw.
I think he was too strung out on pills at the time or something like that to I don't know, get in shape or hold it together. So Jake Gyllenhaal just slid in there.
God, he's a tough dude though. He got swole for that. He got Felix sized.
Movie. And that was he was on that Christian Bale shit because I think the movie he did before that was Nightcrawler where he looked all spidery and fucking wigged out.
I loved that movie.
That movie was fantastic. That movie was great.
Yeah. Yeah. I think the new, so one of the things I guess we'll just start the show talking about TV is you gave up on The Walking Dead.
I finally did it. You told me, right? I finally did it. It was this season premiere where it was Negan, whatever, find out who he killed, Negan. It's going to be the most brutal hour of television ever. I didn't watch it on Sunday night, and then I was like spinning. I was like, should I check it out? Well, I'm going to see what happens. And then I was just like, you know what? I really don't give a shit. I read who he killed, and it's like, oh, he killed two people. That's a twist. But I just realized that I don't care anymore. Like, I broke the spell. I don't. That show is like four seasons, like, too long already. I'm like, I'm bored with this, but I just kept watching. That's what the show is about. It's about the watching dead. You know, it just, we're somehow, our brain is still making our body like turn on the TV to see this. But yeah, I broke the spell. No more Walking Dead for me. I'm free. I'm free of Fear the Walking Dead.
That original show Walking Dead sucks.
All of it. I'm done. I'm done with the entire zombie genre. I never want to see any of it ever again.
I feel like you're leaving me just laying, like you're leaving me laying out in the field, because you and I lasted.
Oh yeah.
And Sons of Anarchy forever.
Oh,
and
yeah, like, I made now, it to the end of Sons of Anarchy, but like, I just see there is no end in sight for The Walking Dead. It's hugely popular. It's just like, it's just gonna keep going and go. They're still making new comics of it. Like, it's never gonna stop.
Yeah, it actually says, I actually looked at their Wikipedia, because this is something that Brett brought up to me when I told him I'm just going to keep watching it until it's over, because I did that with Sons of Anarchy. And he was like, well, I think they just signed on to do 7 more seasons. I was like, God. I might not make it. This might be where I don't make it.
Okay, like, if you're Rick, like Andy Lincoln or... he's like the only character that's been on the show the whole him and Coral are just about the only actors that have been on the show the entire run of it. Oh man, you must be sick of it. Like, at least some of them, they get to die. They get the sweet release of death from filming just season after season of this show.
I mean, they're going to kill him. They have to, cause it's going to be one of those things now where they have to, it's almost like, it is like wrestling. They can just rotate new people in.
Make it a show about Negan now. It's just the Negan show. He's an asshole. Don't. Everyone loves him. He's a sadist. Well, it's America, people.
That's what's interesting about Negan. He's something where I just discovered, like, he is a cool guy written by nerds that have maybe never met a cool guy in their entire life.
That's so right. That's so true. Because he even has a leather jacket. Like, that's his, like, he has a leather jacket and a baseball bat. Those are his, like, that's his character, like, affectation. And they're like, yeah, he's the guy with a leather jacket. He's the badass.
He's the guy with the leather jacket that does eeny, meeny, miny, mo before he bashes your head in. That is such a fucking geek nerd thing.
Actually, Brian, like, actually what really did it for me was that last season finale where they just, like, cut to, like, black and you don't know who he was beating to death or whatever. But, like, that was dumb and cynical enough as, like, a cliffhanger ploy to keep people interested in the show. But the entire episode, like, prior to that, where they're, like, Rick and Carl and everybody, they're finally going to face off against Negan and his army or whatever. And the entire 50-minute show was literally them just driving around in an RV and, like, hitting roadblock after roadblock. And it's just like, why didn't they just fight then and there? Like, why did they just scrap?
And then, you, like, fucking ruined it for me, actually, on Facebook. I will never forget. You were like, did I just watch them drive around for an hour and a half?
It was a season finale, so it was like an extra extended episode, 90 minutes long, and it was just them in an RV getting lost.
Yeah, well, that was also a Sons of Anarchy issue, right? Like, because, like, the episode of The Walking Dead this week that I just watched before we started recording was also 90 minutes, and I'm like,
oh God,
we're falling into the Sutter trap here. These things are good. This could become a real, because the end of Sons of Anarchy, there were 2-hour and 15-minute episodes.
A lot of threads he needed to tie off to end that show in such a satisfying way.
A lot of montages. Yeah. There's always a lot of montages. And, like, there's no catharsis in The Walking Dead. Like, once the good guys win, you still hate the good guys. There's no real, I don't know. I, I, I'm not enjoying it. And that Fear the Walking Dead, I didn't have any fun with. But I think another problem with those two shows is the concept of the mid-season finale. That is a huge problem.
Oh, I hate it. Because, I hate it.
Yeah, you spin your wheels for the first half. You spin and spin and spin until you get to the second half for the next season finale. It's the worst gimmick.
It's just like they're just too popular now. Like, and AMC and cable TV, they just want to wring every last drop of juice out of that, you know, out of that fruit that they just keep squeezing until there's just nothing. Like, just a rind now. There's nothing left. You can't even eat it. You can't even just chew it. It just sits in your mouth. It's terrible.
Just it's really just like you're waiting for the next really violent thing to happen. There's no zombies like, in the damn show.
It's just it's something violent happens every episode. It's just it's totally desensitizing. I'm actually against it now. I'm against violence on television now because of this show.
Oh, this is sick. This is sick. You come on my show, and now you join the PMRC.
That show should have a sticker on it. You put a sticker on your TV before you start watching it.
It does. I mean, but most, you know, we've talked about this before. Parents watch the damn thing with their kids all the time.
Yeah, no, I talked about it with you on this show. The idea that, it was when the parents got mad because there was a gay character on The Walking Dead, and they're like, I don't want my boy to see two men, dang men, kissing each other on the fucking zombie undead Holocaust program. Yeah. I want to see some undead walkers getting their heads split open like a ripe melon with a shovel, baseball bat, or some other blunt object. I don't want to see the dang gay agenda. I just want to see headshot after headshot, just like heads getting snapped back with like 50 caliber bullets, just like splitting it, just blowing a divot out of the back of people's heads. That's what I want to see on family television.
Yeah, it is way desensitizing, man, and it sucks. It's just such the geekiest thing. Somebody, but while we're on this, somebody asked if you saw Doctor Strange, and I'm betting no.
I have not seen Doctor Strange yet. I did see a movie. I went to the movie theater yesterday. I saw Arrival.
What is that? Is that an alien movie?
It's like a sci-fi movie, but like done in kind of like an artier sort of way. It's got like Amy Adams and Forest Whitaker and Jeremy Renner, and it's sort of like you know, high concept, like aliens arrive, but it's just all about how we have to like learn how to like communicate with them because we don't know what they want or why they're here. And you know, it kind of had me up until the very end, spoiler alert, where it just resolves itself in an unbelievably sappy way, which I hate. especially in science fiction movies, or like the answer at the end is just like love is the key to everything.
Oh my god,
it's fucking awful.
That's terrible. I mean, that kind of, like, even Doctor Strange had a less violent ending where it was like intellect will always beat darkness. You know what I mean? That was the whole plot of that movie.
Right.
It's very like logic. It was about logic.
It was basically. It was a by your logic action superhero movie.
It was like Doctor
Strange learns how to like cast hexes to like deflect ad hom attacks and stuff like that.
Yeah, here's the real bummer, Will. So I went on a date with my wife to see this movie, and we both got really stoned. And
I'm probably gonna see it. I'm probably do the same thing and see it next week, but by myself.
I could not figure out, first of all, what it was about or what Doctor Strange's powers were. Because I was like too high to figure out
magician.
What
magician. It's like it's magic.
Yeah, it's magic. I hate that powers. Shit though. Yeah. Yeah, I couldn't figure out the movie. I didn't know what the movie was about, and I didn't know what his powers was. I kind of thought it was going to be simpler, I guess, because all those movies are pretty simple. But I'm reaching my point here with these Marvel movies, like. I've seen all of them still, but at some point I'm starting to see the end where I stop seeing them. Maybe Trump's America will be like, you know what, man, I'd like something a little more realistic.
I'm sick of these fucking super. No, if Marvel were smart, like Disney, I guess now, they would just like realize that like it's, they should just take like a 3-year break and then come come back again and be like, hey, Captain America, everybody, remember him? You know, as a people, it's just, of course they're not. But you know what? I was actually thinking about this the other day, and I'm glad you brought up the fact that we're living in Trump's America now. you know, I was thinking about it like leading up to the election and then especially after the election when you saw like all over social media, just like, you know, the distraught, heartbroken libs who just like kept turning back to Harry Potter. They spent the whole election imagining themselves in Harry Potter, and then they're like now dealing with their grief. They're like, you know, it's just like Harry Potter. And I think it's the same thing with these superhero movies. Like, I don't think it's an accident that like the superhero genre like really, really became like hegemonic in the Obama era. Because I think it was like at a time when like sort of the liberal, I guess, like entertainment industry or like the kind of creative class, they finally got what they want in a leader, but realized that like that doesn't matter really. Like, it's one good person, like, really can't make a difference in the world. So like they retreated more and more into these kind of entertainment products that are nostalgic, that remind you of a time when you were a kid, and present like, because the Marvel movies sort of like make nods to like the real world and like kind of deal with real world issues, but like they always do it in a way that's like very reassuring to like that type of person.
Yeah, I wish they would have remembered to come out. I wish they would come out of the movie theater and not like feel like we live in Metropolis or whatever the Marvel
universe
is. Because I have seen a lot of that stuff, too. I all I've been thinking for since the election, and, you know, a lot of you guys post the Harry Potter stuff and the Star Wars stuff on Twitter. I see it and I'm like, they thought we were going to be having an Ewok party right now.
Yeah, absolutely.
We'd all just be in the woods fucking having an Ewok party with Hillary as the president of the United States. So you did some live show. You guys did a live show on election night.
Oh, yeah.
I had the luck to get to go on another person's show, which meant I didn't have to do very much work. And I got to just do it live and have it recorded, but you had to sit in front of an audience.
No safety net. Yeah. Me and the Chapo boys and Virgil Texas, who by the way now is officially a Chapo member. We rolled him in, him and Amber now officially in the mob. But we did we did our live show on election night, but we did it like as it was happening. And like the conceit of the show was that it was like a fake kind of like cable news election night analysis with like all the different, like, you know, and now for the demographic perspective, like, you know, with stupid maps and stuff like that. But like we had Virgil doing like actual, he was on stage with a laptop, like checking real results, like as they were happening. And like, we were in a room, we sold it out. Like, it was a fucking great crowd. Everyone was psyched to have a good time and a party. But then about halfway through the show, he started doing the real election returns and was like, so it looks like Florida and Ohio are going to go for Trump. And man, you could just feel the fucking wind go out of that room, man. Like the crestfallen, like people just checking their phones, looking at it. I mean, the show turned out great. Like we really held it together, but you could totally feel the energy in that room shift. Cause like when people were all expecting it was going to be a fun night, Hillary was going to win, we could all make fun of her. But then it was like, yo, this shit got, people just probably wanted to be with their families or something at that point. They were like, why am I listening to this comedy shit? And, I said it on the show, but, we also changed the ending of the show as it was happening. Cause like we catered to every possibility, but Trump actually winning. And we had this whole bit at the end where like Felix was going to go in the bathroom and shoot himself like Jack D. Ripper in a Dr. Strangelove. Cause he couldn't stand living in a Hillary presidency. But we had to scrap that, and basically we had to call it for Trump on stage, which was that was a comedy feat, man. I don't know how we did it.
You know, and one of the first things I thought about when Trump won, because I didn't see it happening either, which is really weird because I'm as cynical about America as anybody.
Yeah, well, I mean, I'm cynical about America too, but I just thought like because of that. Like Hillary Clinton is just like, there's too much money, too much power behind her. Like all the polls say she's up 2-3 points. It'll stay true to form or whatever. But looking back on it now, it shouldn't be shocking at all. Like, I mean,
I know,
I feel like everything we said was, we're right. But like we missed the big question, which was, actually, this is funny. Like the week or two before the election, we did a tarot card episode with Kath Barbadoro. and she did a tarot card reading for us. And the second question we asked her was like, let's predict a Hillary Clinton administration. And the first card she pulled for that question was the Hanged Man. And in classic, in classic prophetic fashion, we got the right answer, but we asked the wrong question. And that card clearly meant that, yeah, the like that Trump was going to be president, and that the opposite of our question was true. So we got the correct prophecy, but we misinterpreted it.
That's you know what bothers me about not getting it right is when I go back and look at during this summer, Matt Chrisman from one of the Chapo boys, Kushbaum, and I went to the Republican convention, and then all of us together performed in Philly and went to Philly for both of these elections.
Uh-huh.
And there was like an electric atmosphere in Cleveland. And I think Matt and I brought it up a few times when we were in Philly, like, man, this is a lot different than Cleveland. It doesn't feel the same.
Well, the energy was like, and it was a muted energy, but it's to the extent that there was energy at all, it was people protesting Hillary Clinton and the DNC.
Yeah. Like there was no excitement about it at all. It was Bernie supporters protesting outside around the place, but like,
and even Cleveland that was thing, like a muted energy. It was not like a raucous
they weren't
protest
going all in.
Kind of like, yeah.
Yeah. So we went in Cleveland. It was crazy out there. It was like, it felt like a party. And that should have been the first damn clue. Like, wait a minute, they're pretty enthusiastic about this. I know it doesn't sound like, because the only voices you hear is like Bill Kristol.
Right.
You don't
right.
hear like my friend Steve from high school that fucking screamed at me for going to a protest this week on the internet.
Oh no. Well, no, I already mentioned it on Chapo, but I think it bears repeating. When we were in Philly again, my first sign is when we were at Captain Freiheit, shout out to Nick. We were sitting in his living room watching the first night of the DNC. And that was the first time that I was like, holy shit, they're going to lose this election. They're going to lose to Donald Trump, because what I'm seeing right now is like just a fucking farce. Like, this is like a joke. Like, if you're like an average American and a voter and you're watching this right now, like, oh my God, like. If you're not in that like Democrat world where like everybody thinks Hillary Clinton is like a great person and like a the rightful leader of the United States, like, and you're watching this, like, holy shit, what are you seeing? Like, you're like, this is terrible.
Was it I remember us being in that room, and it was like Lena Dunham and was it Sarah Silverman talking together?
Oh yeah, yeah.
And just being like, nobody outside of like New York and LA even know who these fucking people are. You know? And I kind of, that was the other thing like that I think we learned is like, nobody likes the guys that do the eviscerating. Like those people aren't popular like anywhere except for on Huffington Post. Like that's what's been not eye-opening, because I think all of us knew that what happens on Twitter is just a smaller amount of people. What happens in the media is just a smaller amount of people. But I didn't realize how fired up Donald Trump actually got people. And it's, you guys were totally right when you said it's because he said he would do something. Like, they're so fucking tired of, like, nothing happening. And then Hillary Clinton runs a campaign saying, like, well, nothing can really happen.
Yeah, that was inspiring as hell.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, like, the inspirational quality to her campaign was just, like, herself and the fact that she's a woman running for president. Which is, like, you know, if you're a woman, I could kind of see the appeal in that. But, like, not weighed against, like, the, I don't know, just bleak realities of your everyday life. I don't know.
Yeah, and hate. I mean, really, they keep saying, like, oh, that she was an when you say she was an unpopular candidate, people really hate her. Like,
yeah.
I don't know where they thought they were going to dig up a bunch of people that don't hate her. Like, I don't know anybody that likes her. Not a single person that I can think of. I knew a lot of people that voted for her, my wife included. My wife voted for her because my father-in-law voted for Trump and she felt like she needed to counteract him. Did not work. But I can see that. I ended up actually going to the protest the night after. And It was even weird being at a protest with liberals at it, because they have been not going to the protests for the past 8 years. This was kind of their first one.
Well, so, I hope they get used to it, you know.
Yeah, a lot of dudes holding. I saw, a lot of people there were like, let's get a list of the electors in the Electoral College, and we will call them and force them to switch their votes. It's like, man, I ain't here fight. I'm not here to fight for Hillary Clinton. That is not why I'm here. But so you guys have been doing a lot of, we both have started doing more live shows, and like you guys, learning how to perform live on probably the biggest possible stage. Are you having fun?
Oh yeah. I'm loving it. I the live shows are fantastic because it's like the opportunity to write, you know, because if it's a live crowd, like there's no safety net of like editing or, you know, bullshit like that. But just, yeah. The energy, from crowds is great. You know, I mean, like you got, that's the showbiz bug, you know, I'm really enjoying it.
Me too. I do. I like anytime you can get a room to laugh at you and get all the attention. That is beautiful.
we did two shows at Caroline's on Broadway. That's probably one of the bigger comedy clubs in New York City. And we did two shows for the two of the debates, the first and last debate we did at Caroline's. And the last show we really killed. The first one was difficult, though, because like that was our first taste of a semi-hostile crowd, because the first show we sold it out, but like half of the crowd was just like sort of people who had been like ushered in off the streets to be like, hey, you want to see a comedy show tonight about politics or whatever? And or do you want to watch the debate at a comedy club? And like they came in, and the other half of the audience was like, I guess people who are fans or people who are familiar with us. And then the debate starts, and we're doing our thing, and we're like making comments and cracking jokes and stuff. And like half of the audience is like shushing us from from the crowd. They thought they had literally paid money, like a cover charge and a 2-drink minimum, to sit in a comedy club and watch the first presidential debate like uninterrupted. And we were getting shushed, and like the first couple times it happened, like we I didn't really know how to react, because your instinct is to be like, I'm on stage, I'm here to entertain them, like I should be sort of catering to their whim. But like the exact opposite is true. Like you need to assert dominance immediately, and we fucked up in that regard, but it's not a mistake we'll make again.
I love that story, because like the Brett and I, like when we came, so we took 5 years off of live performance. The first one we did was in June. And it was sold out. Like, we sold out the place that we do our shows, Cafe Kerouac. There is one on November 26th if you're in Ohio and it's a holiday weekend and you want to come and talk
show.
About stealing. It is. It was supposed to be Black Friday, but Brett forgot to request it. So which is good, because now Brett and I are going to go to Black Friday and fuck around and film stuff, and you're going to get to hear what we do on Black Friday too. We're going to go at 4 a.m. Like, I got to see this.
Are you going to camp out?
No, I think I said this on a previous episode. I think if you camp outside of like a Best Buy before Thanksgiving, we should be allowed to shoot rock salt at you.
Well, I just love the idea of you know, camping out in the woods, like in nature, probably not going to do that. You know, I've done that before. It's okay. Not doing it again. I just love the idea of like camping out, like sleeping rough outside, like in a tent, just in like a parking lot, or like just a suburban like strip mall or something like that.
I mean, it's so stupid of us not to do it. Like, not to just, we don't do anything. We could go there on Wednesday. Set up a tent and the news would cover us. That is perfect free coverage. But I can't bring myself to do it. And Brett is like a super holiday guy. He would never miss Thanksgiving. and I'm not buying anything. I might. That's one of the tests here, is to see if I actually buy something, because I don't like Black Friday. I don't hate people for liking Black Friday. It's a weird... I don't feel strongly enough to like be mad at somebody for liking Black Friday, but
Like, I mean, it's insane to me. Like, I hate crowds of any kind and, like, or waking up early to do anything or just shopping in general. But at the same time, a lot of it can get into that kind of, anti-consumerist, like, scolding. And it's just like, yeah. Well, you know, shit, like, people need a nice television, okay? And if they can get $30 off, like, why not?
People I like need deals.
A little comfort, you know, a little entertainment, something, I don't know. The kids want a video game. I don't know. Everyone should have treats and toys, is my opinion.
Me too. I like to get high, man. But some people don't like to get high. They like to get deals. Like, it's irresistible. And that's what Black Friday is. Black Friday is kind of the holiday for them, I guess.
I mean, it's like my privilege is like I've never been cheap or whatever, and that's certainly privilege on my part. But like for me, like I'll always pay a higher price for like just the convenience of not having to deal with shit.
Me too. Exactly. The only that I have been to Black Friday at night. I've never gone real early or anything, but I pay a premium not to have to deal with people.
Yeah,
and that is privilege.
Yeah.
So we're gonna do this Black Friday. So like. The first show we did was pretty sold out, and everybody was there to see us, and it was very easy to perform compared to, like, 5 years ago when we did shows where, like, there was, like, four people there. We had DJs, and the DJs would play the music, and then we would come out to tell the jokes, and people would be like, turn the fucking music back on. So when he told me, when Matt, I had talked to Matt about it, he told me about those people shushing you, and I'm like, you know what, though? That is the live experience. Most, like, there's always some discomfort, and, like, you guys are having to do it in front of a lot more people than I did, you know? when I did live stuff in the beginning, I would do these open mics, and one of the ones I did, they used to have it in a little back room. And the people that wanted to see the comedy would just come in this back room and watch the comedy. And it was usually, you know.
What, like it was a dog fight or something?
It was like 25 or 30 people. Yeah, pretty much. It was. I mean, it was like 22 comedians they would do. They didn't turn anybody down. So it was like 22 people doing 3 to 5 minutes each. And most of them not good. And then the other
You must have saw some good... like acts that were like comedy material in and of themselves, like,
right, just... I only remember one guy like vividly in my mind, and it was a guy named Spike. That's what he went by.
Already an excellent comedy name, Spike.
Yeah, well, his whole fucking bit was doing a dinner at one of those Japanese steakhouse places.
But like, so... what, pantomime or...
Yeah, like he was doing the accent, and then he would be like, "Oh, you want the
he's doing a funny Asian accent." That's good. That always kills.
The entire thing was about how fun they are, and then basically just acted like one of the waiters at that place, and like the whole joke was like, "Oh, they talk with an accent." And like, I just remember having to go on stage after that. My jokes, a lot of them were basically what I do now, like drugs and stealing and shit like that. And I just said, I can't do open mics anymore, and decided to focus on Street Fight. But you guys don't have that. You backed in the other way, and you can't be like, well, I'm just going to focus on Chapo now and not do this live thing. Like, you're pretty much wrapped into the live thing forever now.
Yeah, I'd love it, dude. I get questions all the time. Like, my goal in 2017 is to take Chapo like U.S. tour. We definitely want to come to Columbus, man. I would love to do a show there. It's college town. I feel like we could get a good audience. But like, shit, West Coast, D.C. definitely. Hopefully for the inauguration.
I have a dream show for you guys to come here.
Well, I'm down. We're all down. We would love to come to Ohio.
Yeah, I talked to Matt when he was here, and I want to do Rock on the Range. So we only have like one music festival here, and it's all like new metal, and we want to bring you out here so you can get the full goddamn Midwestern dirtbag experience.
Yeah, no, I mean, I wanna do it for Matt too, because he's been like jet setting from Ohio to New York like seemingly every other week now. So I feel like we should come to Ohio, and that way you can just like drive or something.
You guys sell us tickets every month. I mean, every month at some point somebody's like, oh, we heard about you on Chapo and we decided to come and see what you were doing, and then we're able to convert them because they haven't heard the show yet.
Hell
they've
yes.
just heard a really well written stand-up set that we've practiced for weeks and weeks at a time.
You know, I think we've tried to make clear both on the show and in our many you know, media requests and interviews, that, you know, the genesis to all of this lay with Street Fight. That Street Fight are the real Chapo godfathers.
Well, you guys, I mean, like I said, your show, and if you're a listener of this show and you haven't heard it, it's the Year Zero show that they did. Man, it took me back so far, because I think sometimes we get more goofy than we used to do on this show in the past 6 months or so. We're not yelling as much as we used to. I can't muster up the anger anymore. I've been doing it for 5 years. So I'm trying not to be, and I got this. I mean, Will, you were the king on that show of just like, I don't have any faith in the Democrats.
Yeah, no, it's pretty, we were pretty angry. Yeah, we really took it there. But it was sort of, we had to do it because the last time we were all together was on stage when Trump actually won, to all of our shock, which feels foolish in retrospect, because, well, first of all, I had to cop up to the fact that we were owned by Bill Mitchell and owned by Trump in general, because I always thought it was a joke. Like, I sort of waffled back and forth. Like I said, I entertained the idea. There were several moments where I was like, oh God, maybe he might really win this thing. But like at the end of the day, like I never really fully like wrapped my arms around the idea that like, holy shit, this guy is actually going to be president until it actually happened. So I felt the need to like sort of confess that. Cause,
well,
you know,
I think not the a good big feeling. Bummer. Yeah, no, it's not a great feeling. It's not a good feeling. Like, I'm an anarchist, so I mean, I kind of can be like, I ain't involved in this shit.
Yeah. But at the same time, it's like, come on. Like, I mean, this is...
Yeah.
I mean, to be clear, like, Hillary Clinton would have been an awful president, and many of the same evils would, like, still be being perpetrated on a mass level. I mean, we definitely agree about that, but it just, it is kind of a gut punch.
It's in a bad way. It is.
Yeah,
we're
in a bad place. Like.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, he is not, I didn't want him to win. I will admit that. And like, man, I think they could have maybe coaxed a vote out of me if they had talked about how close it was. You know what I mean? I can't say that I would, because I, even in, on that day, I didn't feel the need to vote.
Yeah.
And I didn't feel bad,
you know,
for not doing it.
You know, and I was talking about this before. It's like, you know, where you're sort of like, confronted with this thought, like, oh Christ, like, should I have been like phone banking for this person I despise, and or like even voted in your case? And you know what, my answer to that is it wouldn't have made a difference, because like the blame lies squarely with Hillary Clinton and her campaign. And if you were really hoping for them to win, or at least hoping that Donald Trump wouldn't win, like you got to blame them. Like, there's a lot of smart people who I'm sure gave time and effort because they didn't want Donald Trump to be president, or they wanted Hillary Clinton to be president, but like they fucked up. It's their fault. They absolutely blew it. And like, you could have given like your best effort, she still wouldn't have campaigned in Wisconsin even once.
I mean, why do you think she didn't? She wasn't even here very much. I can say that.
I think
she
they
did.
Just, I think she just saw, she thinks she thought that it was just already sewn up, and that like all the states that went for Obama in 2008 and 2012 would go to her by default, especially considering that Donald Trump was like so abhorrent to like the media and you know, the right minded sort of person.
Yeah, she came here, when I think about it now, if we're just going over it, she came here after the Grabbing by the Pussy tapes came out. she came here like the day after that, and she did this speaking thing at Ohio State, and she said 18,000 people showed up. And I remember thinking, like, that's like really not that impressive, because there are a few tens of thousands of people that are forced to live there because you there are students all over the place. They just walked out of their houses like, oh, somebody that might be the president's going to be here. I'm just going to walk out of my house and see that. And they took a picture of it, and that and they said, thank you, Ohio. And they tweeted that the next day. And I remember thinking like that. I mean, that was the last time she was here. That is the last time I remember coming in. I drive for Lyft, so I know when they're closing all the roads and stuff like that. I profiteered. Well, I didn't make a ton of money off of Hillary Clinton rallies. She really was having – she didn't draw very well. But it was just – she wasn't here very much. And she probably – I mean, Columbus is that little blue dot in the middle of Ohio that shows up on the new memes. On the new, this is where Hillary Clinton won. They're this is where the high crime rates are.
Yeah, they're like, if only Columbus, Ohio voted for president, here's how the electoral map would look.
Yeah. I mean, it's so blue here. The people that voted are really the people that don't live in the cities. And we brought this up on Street Fight this week. I got into an argument with a guy, okay? He was actually my best friend in high school. And we're not as good of friends now. He still lives there, which is a part of this story to me. Like, I don't want to come off as a snob, and I have not lived. I still live 20 minutes away from where I grew up, right? But it's like a different world where I live now and where I grew up. Like, I live in the middle of a city, and I'm around all kinds of people, black people, trans people, gay people. I have friends that are of all different types. And I knew that, like, they were going to be scared about this. I had conversations with friends of mine that were like, oh, I'm really worried about this. And my wife was genuinely worried about it. And they were voting for Hillary Clinton. All of them were. This guy that I got into an argument with still lives, like, basically down the street from where he grew up, in the exact same fucking place, you know, and he doesn't really leave. And he's like this, he's a roofer, and he thinks he's middle class, and I doubt he's middle class. But he asked this question on Facebook, like, what was Hillary Clinton gonna do for the working class? Like, was she gonna do anything that Donald Trump wasn't going to do? And really, I mean, nothing you can really say.
No, you know, no. And the fact that Democrats, like the actual liberals who like are still fucking deluded, still lying to themselves, they can't answer that question, and they're avoiding answering that question by saying it's all about racism or misogyny or whatever, which I'm sure a lot of it is. But no, they can't answer that question, and because there's no answer for it. I mean, the answer for it is that, of course, Donald Trump won't do anything for them either. But at least he's talking in a way about jobs and trade deals that have eviscerated much of the Rust Belt, including Ohio. It's back to the idea that at least he was acknowledging that there was a problem. Whereas that, like, you know, Hillary Clinton was like, America's already great. You know, here's Katy Perry. Like, you know, like, so yeah, like, if you're that guy who's a roofer or whatever, I don't know. I gotta say, like, I mean, you're an asshole for voting Donald Trump, but, like, I understand it in a way. I understand why you would never vote for Hillary Clinton. Let's put it that way.
Yes, and him and I, actually, I went to answer his question about why, because it was directed at me, because I gotta be the only person he knew that protested.
Right.
That went to the protest. So I was kind of like, well, I don't think people were thinking that Hillary Clinton was going to do anything for the working class, but like Donald Trump isn't going to either, and he's racist, and, you know, kind of go into all these. He makes people unsafe. He makes people in marginalized groups unsafe. And he was just, I don't fucking care about that. And I'm like, of course you don't. You don't fucking know anybody. Like, that is what it was. Like, the people that didn't vote for Obama aren't racist. They just don't fucking care. They're not woke. They don't understand any
like
of that
like
stuff.
Like those, but like, because those aren't real concerns in their lives, and like, you know, that's a failure, you know, on their part or their imagination or whatever. But at the same time, it's like sort of understandable.
Yeah. So, in the end of this show, We have about 20 minutes left, I think. We have about 20 minutes left. I was mentioning our shows, that we're our live shows, and one of the things we like to do with the second show of the week, Will, even if we have a guest, is kind of hit on what we're going to do at this live show, which is we're going to talk about shoplifting and monkey
Hell
wrenching.
Yes. Hell yes.
Make Black Friday red. Do everything you can to make sure that that day they are not profitable. Is it stealing? We've asked our listeners for stories about stealing and for stories about like time theft and monkey wrenching at work, which I found out that a lot of people don't know what monkey wrenching is. It is just trying to stop the gears at work. Anything that fucking gums up the gears at your job is monkey wrenching. But do you have any stuff? Were you a shoplifter, Will? Now, that you were.
You are correct. I went through like a very brief shoplifting phase in like sixth or seventh grade. Like I'd go to the deli after school and like steal like, you know, Nick candy bars or whatever. But it didn't last very long. I never got bit heavy into thieving or like really stole anything worth more than like a dollar.
Can I ask you, is that a normal New York thing? Like do most people in New York shoplift, go through a phase shoplift? Because it seems like if you grew up around all of these stores, because there were only two stores by me, if you fucking shoplift and got caught, you weren't allowed to go anymore.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know how common it was, but like I said, yeah. I stole candy and shit when I was a kid.
Yeah, and time theft we've all done.
Oh, I mean, time theft. I mean, that's the biggest theft of all. Definitely.
I don't even think it can be considered.
It's not really
theft.
Yeah, no, of course not, because you know, time is time, and you know, we're all passing it. Just because I'm in an office doesn't mean it's like the seconds move any different. I'm just, you know, just checking Twitter. That's all.
Yes, absolutely. Brett started.
Well, it's
the
like the thing is like if you're in an office, right? As I was until very recently, where like your entire day is basically just sitting at a computer, being online, answering emails. It's just sort of like, well, you know, it's just fair is fair. Okay, you put me here, all right? I have to be online and on this computer all the time, so.
I like the idea of fair is, yeah. Brett put Street Fight together at a job. They didn't know what his job was. He was working with a bunch of frat guys, and it was like a social media manager thing. But it
Which
was
is a bullshit
years
job
ago.
To begin with.
Yeah. And they were just, I don't know, they, you know, they, I don't know what it is. So I went on Twitter and said, so if you have stories about shoplifting or tactics or any techniques, I would love to hear about them. So I thought you and I could maybe look into some of these techniques that people have.
Oh, definitely. Actually, I wanted to bring up something real quickly about thieving, about theft. And, I saw you were tweeting about this today. This thing that's come out, like, okay, the Kurt Eichenwald piece about why Bernie wouldn't have won. And he said, quote, like, okay, this guy's a complete fraud. He's a lunatic. But he said, like, he's like, look, I saw the Republicans' Oppo research file on Bernie. And it was like as thick as a dictionary. You would not believe the stuff that was in there. And included among them was the idea that like Bernie was unemployed until he was 30 and like stole utilities from a neighbor. And I'm like, Brian, now you said this, but I'm like, Brian, as a guy from Ohio, don't you think that if the Democrats had nominated a guy who had stolen utilities at one point in his life, the Democrats probably would have won Ohio?
I'm going to say this. Yes.
Yeah, that absolutely.
That's such an Ohio, like all those middle
class.
That's
Lonnie
people,
shit, right?
Right. Yeah, all those middle class. Listen, I've never said this out loud or in public, but I hooked a lot of people up with free cable.
No, I think I've heard you say that on the show.
Yeah, I mean, it's just everybody steals a utility. That would be like the ultimate fucking solidarity. For guys like me, like I if I heard that, I would vote. I may have voted. You know what I mean?
Like, you'd be like, this is a guy I can relate to. Like, he understands, like, real problems. Like, he could, like, because, like, that's the problem with Hillary Clinton. Like, if you're, like your friend, the roofer, or, like, an unemployed auto worker or whatever, how do you look at this person or the Democratic Party in general and just think, like, well, yeah, these people understand me and, like, have my best priority, or, like, you know, want to help me or have my priorities in mind or something like that? I don't fucking know.
And they've never been, these people know what life is like, and they've never been in a fucking attic running an extension cord to their neighbor's apartment. It is crazy. Like, everybody steals, like, utilities. That's not even an odd thing.
And, well, like, utilities should be free anyway, so you're right to steal them.
Yeah, yeah, that is such a popular, like, I almost don't know anybody that has it. First of all, getting your power turned off is pretty normal for a lot of people. There's, like, a large class of people who get their it's almost like a phase in your life, getting your electricity turned off. And they even make that sound like part of the problem. Like,
yeah,
part,
like,
of the,
you're
problem
stealing,
is,
or,
that he,
yeah,
didn't pay.
Yeah, exactly.
Because, yeah, stealing isn't a big, I mean, people, that's one of the things I think we're learning this month, and our mission to find out about stealing is, I mean, at least in our listenership, people aren't opposed to stealing.
Well, so you put the call out on Twitter. What are some stealing techniques and stories that you've gotten in reply?
My absolute favorite stealing thing right now, and this will even bring us back to the roofer thing, Will. It's beautiful.
Yeah.
Contract. We've had a few people that work at Lowe's and Home Depot, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And they have installed those self-scan checkouts at both of those places, which is insane. Because you can't even get them weighed. You can't get... You know what I mean? Like, at the grocery store in the self-checkout lines, when
you're checking in almonds like they're grapes or something to, like, get, you know.
Yeah, and the weight, it knows when you have something, okay? So as long as you put something in the cart, it knows. You can't do that at the hardware store. They don't have a space big enough to put, like, a big fucking piece of plywood on the machine. It just has to trust that you scanned the right amount of cardboard, but that's not even, I mean, plywood, but that's not even what these contractors are doing. Again, contractors who would be mad,
first of all, contractors are thieves just by nature, right? They're all crooked, okay?
Yeah.
They thieve from the people who employ them, like, constantly. I don't mean, like, steal stuff from their house. I mean, like, they just screw them over, like, as a matter of course.
Yes, exactly. Wouldn't have voted for Bernie Sanders, though, because he's done the electricity gimmick.
Yeah. I think the actual contractors would have always gone Republican, because they're from that, like, sort of, like, they have enough money to, like, not want to give it away to people, and they're kind of, like, bitter assholes. But I think the people who work for the contractors would have voted for Bernie, the employees, you know?
These guys, what they're doing is they're buying trash cans every time they come in and just loading them with shit and not ringing them up.
What? So how do they leave the store then?
With the fucking trash. Just push the trash can out on a cart. You know what I mean? You get a company credit card so you can pay
for the trash can, but you fill it with, like,
shit,
power,
whatever,
tools,
whatever,
and shit.
Whatever you need, just fill it and then scan the trash can.
So they're not weighing the trash can. They don't notice the trash can weighs, like, 300 pounds or something.
No, because it never gets put up on the register, because you can't do that at a hardware store.
Oh, my
God.
Well, that's funny, because, like,
to do that.
That's interesting in terms of the discussion about, like, stealing and shit like that. Because, you know, now I think we all see, like, that giant companies like Walmart or Lowe's or, like, McDonald's, they want to go full automation because they don't want to have employees. You know, they don't want to pay labor costs at all if they can avoid it, right? And especially if they're under pressure to, like, pay a living wage or provide benefits, they certainly don't want to do that. So, I mean, like, and this is the stick that they're always saying, like, hey, $15 an hour would be nice, but, you know, we're just going to replace you with computers. And I just feel like the more that happens, like, the more people should just, if there's nobody in the store, people should just steal.
Yeah, like, you what, did like, a thing. You did a thing on Chapo about
about Walmart. It's about the crime that takes place in Walmart, which I was astounded reading that. Like these gigantic stores. There's like 12 employees in them, and like really serious crimes take place in these Walmart. Not just like stealing, but like assaults and like rapes and things like that. And local police departments are sick of it. They feel that they're a public good that taxpayers pay for that is basically. Because there's so much crime at Walmart, they're like the de facto what should be like the private security of Walmart, but they don't hire enough people, so they have to have a cop who's just stationed in Walmart collecting all the people who get caught shoplifting and stuff.
Yeah, well, that's been a big major theme of this month too. Is Walmart's where people steal from, and like that's me putting two and two together with that is like there's nobody working there. So why?
Well, in the article about all the crimes that take place in Walmart, like they talk to people like experts in like what is it called, like loss reduction, things like that. And the example they used was Target, and you know Target, they're a rotten company too, but they employ enough people for a store to run. You know what I mean? Like, so they don't really have this problem in the same way Walmart does, which is just like. Walmart, it's like some kind of post-apocalyptic thing. It's just these giant stores filled with stuff, but like nobody's in them, but like roving gangs that control different aisles or something. It's like Mad Max or something, yeah.
Their parking lot is very perfect for crime.
They let you stay overnight in the parking lot because a lot of their employees have to do that. They let you can just sleep in your car in a parking lot overnight.
Yeah, and you're so anonymous there. Like, you can go by. I had a weed guy that I exclusively met in Walmart
parking
lot.
In a Walmart parking lot.
Yeah. And now I kind of even feel like that's part of the strategy for hurting these companies. It's like, fuck it. You know what? If you got to do dirty business, do it at the Walmart.
Oh, I love it.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's a great idea. But like I said, like if they are not going to hire anyone, they're not going to pay labor costs, they're just going to try to automate everything. Well, then just like it'll be easier to steal, and we should take it back from them. Like if they're not the employees should, I hope their employees are stealing from them.
So that is a fun thing. That's actually one of the funny stories that we got was this dude said he worked third shift at Walmart. And when you do your orientation, they talk real tough. You know, they're like, I remember when I worked at the grocery store, they said we can see the date. On a dime the cash register.
Yeah, they're the NSA.
they lay it on super thick, right?
And they're like, we will prosecute to the fullest extent of the law, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah, that is also their entire strategy to deal with their employees stealing. Like, it's toothless when they say it. And this dude said he worked third shift, and he was like, yeah, you know, I stole a lot of stuff. But it was pretty much implied that you steal from like nobody talked about it in the break room, but everybody was stealing. And
well, if they really cared about stopping theft, they would hire the people to police their stores or protect their merchandise. But I'm sure like their number crunchers have figured out that like whatever money they lose from theft is crumbs compared to what they save by just not employing people.
Yeah, and not threat. Like, the threats do stop some people from stealing, too. Like, all those threats. Like, if people are hanging on for a job, they're not going to steal from Walmart. But I think that, like, most people there as a last resort. I think one of the things that I thought about when they were trying to figure out who Donald Trump voters were, it was like, you know, there was this town in Ohio that DHL ran the whole town. Like, it's the delivery company, the German delivery company. The whole town worked there. Everybody did. And they just went away. And it ended up being on 60 Minutes that this town just crashed. And it's like the only job there is going to be Walmart from now on. You know, or Wendy's or McDonald's, like one of those places. That's all that's there. So, like, of course, people are pissed off. It's like a dystopia out there. But I would rather I like the idea of stealing from like as much as you can get from Walmart. It seems so easy. The place is so sparse. There's nobody there.
I think Walmart, they have this like amazing, you know, infrastructure. They're all over the country. They have so much money. I think honestly, the government should just nationalize Walmart. And like the Soviet Union, Walmart is now like the government store where like everything is basically free. Like if you just go to Walmart and it's like social services, basically.
I mean, this is one of those street. This is a famous. This is so much more actually better thought out than anything we've ever come up with on this show. I mean, like we come up. We're always trying to come up with ideas like bike. I had a bike bike sharing program. I've had cereal silos and things like that. Just but that is such a practical way. That's such a practical way to port communism port America over
like they,
to communism.
They have an incredibly efficient. Like distribution and organization to like get resources like everywhere in the country, basically.
And people don't have to work there.
Well, no, I mean, they can work there, but they'll be like government employees and they'll get a salary and a decent wage and benefits or whatever. But and the government would shit. They can even like keep some of the board, but it'll just be like owned by the state. And, you know, it'll be like social service. It'll be like a new kind of welfare system, basically.
And I would participate.
And if you're sort of like better off or whatever, you can shop at Target where they have better stuff.
I would.
And Target will be like a real store.
Yeah, Target will be the new next step up. And then there'll be another. There's a police station in a Target that I go to. Like they have the police station there. But it's a huge parking lot. It's a Target, a movie theater, and like.
But you're right. Like there is this like dystopian feeling in much of the country where like they're like. Vast. There's nothing there. There's like there's no communities. There's no main street anymore. Like where people are out shopping and interacting with each other. It's just these like vast desolate spaces where you're just in your car driving, and then there's just these giant parking lots, and then there's Walmart there. So like I mean that's already horrifying. I mean that's already like you said, this sort of post-apocalyptic environment. But, like, yeah, just get the government to take over, just nationalize all Walmarts, and that'll be, like, the state's new point of interaction with its citizens and providing services and, like, you know.
You need to get this to Bernie Sanders. You need to get this idea in Bernie Sanders'
I would like to say that nationalizing Walmart would be a reasonable idea. The top 1% of the 1% of the top 1% of Walmart could afford to pay for everybody to have cup of noodle. In America.
I love this idea. I mean, like, that is the type of thing that could take off with people. That's the Democrats always act like there's no appetite for these sorts of things with regular people. But it's because they never bring these ideas to them in a way that makes sense.
Because nationalizing one of America's largest private corporations is, you know, that would take some doing. But it's not like it's
but even
unheard
just saying
of,
it out loud,
you know? Yeah.
But, you know, saying it out loud gives people an idea for maybe a little less is possible, you know, like maybe we could get socialized medicine.
Well, that's the problem, though. I mean, this is the fucking problem with the Democrats is like and Hillary Clinton being like the prime example of this is that like they just exist to like, I don't know, placate people's, you know. Certain concerns, which are, you know, I have to state completely warranted about. You know, race and sexuality and sort of minorities in that effect, they send the message that we're not evil like the Republicans are on that, in that regard. But in every other way, just manage everyone's expectations downward. And Donald Trump did the exact opposite. He's a complete bullshit artist. He's a con artist and he hates, I guarantee you, all the people who voted for him.
Oh yeah,
but
I mean, he probably. Sees
but the thing
marks.
Is, he went big. He promised people things. He expanded in the minds of the people and like selling a vision and yourself to the like the world. I mean, it's the art of the deal. He's a bullshitter, but he bullshitted people in a way that like raised their expectations of what is possible for like the government to do in their lives. You know, bring back jobs, make America great again. It's going to be the best, classiest, most beautiful country ever. And I just feel like the Democrats, they just tell people to like, now don't get too carried away through incremental progress and very small reforms. Like we'll be able to, have Obamacare. That's how fucking Obamacare happened. a fucking disaster
shit.
Of a law that everybody hates. And is probably one of the reasons Hillary Clinton lost, to be honest.
Yeah, people really, really hate Obamacare. That was weird when that was one of the weird things when I heard her say, like, you're going to get to keep Obamacare. And it's like, ugh.
One can afford that shit.
Yeah, especially now that they're raising.
The premiums are going. In the week before the election, Obamacare premiums went up by like over 20% or something like that. And it's like, either you can afford this some shitty bronze plan, which is already an insane amount of money, but the copays are like so high that like even if you use it, you're still going to be broke.
Yeah, I think I've talked about this a few times on Street Fight, but a couple months ago I was working with two dudes that made $11 an hour in a warehouse and like were coping with having to either get fined or get health insurance. And one of the guys actually ended up finding out he could get Medicare, like, after a while. But mm-hmm. for a while had bought...
Well, not anymore, probably.
Probably not, no. Bought this catastrophe insurance, like this catastrophic insurance, where, like, it's only to maybe when you go to the emergency room, they'll pay.
Like, if you get in a car accident and, like, an ambulance, like, throws your corpse into the ER, like, maybe, like, a one-tenth of it will be covered.
Yeah, you couldn't possibly actually go to the doctor and get procedures done or anything.
Or any
like
kind of,
that.
Like, preventative medicine or just a physical or a checkup or something, like...
No, and I imagine how many people have that, and then they're saying, isn't everything great with healthcare? We fixed healthcare, guys.
Yeah, absolutely. Oh, my God. Those fucking idiots. Unbelievable.
I know.
This is what I'm saying. Like, they don't understand. Like, they're completely disconnected from the real world. They really don't understand this shit at all, because they're all too wealthy. They have too much fucking money.
Yeah, it really shows the difference. It shows, like, I mean, it was just... All of her supporters were people that, like, regular people loathe. Like, regular people.
Yeah, all of her supporters
who,
like, all of her supporters, like, the people at Vox who, like, really love Obamacare and were telling everyone how great it is and how brilliant her campaign was and all that shit. People hate, they're the people who asked the teacher, like, you forgot to assign homework or is there any extra credit assignments? Like, yes. They're that kind of, the people who love looking at graphs and dealing with data and shit like that. Normal people despise people like that.
I know. And normal people really don't know who Lena Dunham is, but if they, I just know that if they knew. They
oh, if they knew, they would
like
hate
it.
Her even more.
I know. And it's just, it, the guys that are eviscerating people, man, like, and that stuff, I hate it a lot. I hate them.
It's corny.
You know? Yeah, it is. It's very corny, but nobody likes it. No, people that watch The Big Bang Theory don't even know what the evisceration was about, you know? And I just keep going back to, like, that I don't know where these pieces came from. I don't know who the people are, even still to this day. Like, a guy like Andy Richter going out and making a point to say,
oh my God, yeah.
Yeah, he's the fucking worst. But making a point to say, like, people wouldn't have voted for Bernie Sanders because he was Jewish, like the wrong kind of white. And
yeah, that's
like,
absurd. And what makes it worse is that it's all coming from almost entirely from the exact same people who said, well, Bernie's just another old white man. He's part of the establishment. And like, oh, well, now he's like, you know, Fiddler on the Roof.
Yeah, now he's a POC.
Yeah, now he's got him and his big hook nose. Yeah. And it's like, you know, would Bernie have won, right? I think I can make a strong case in my mind that the states that Hillary Clinton lost, that lost her the election, I think Bernie would have won. And I don't see states that she, like, that he would have lost that she won, right? But again, who the fuck knows? But, you know, Nick Mullen, I think, said it best, was just like, if you asked the people who, like, really supported Hillary, if you had a chance to go back and do it over again, would you have supported Bernie? Like, the answer is not 100% we know Bernie would have won. The answer is we 100% know for sure that Hillary Clinton cannot win. She did not win.
Yes.
So you sure you don't want to maybe try option B? Like, and just maybe if you could replay it out, see how it would have turned out?
Yeah, as far as the anti-Semitism, I mean, at least in my experience, and I grew up in a pretty
redneck
place.
Dude, a guy named Barack Hussein Obama very convincingly won the election twice.
Right.
And he was, like, raised in Indonesia.
Yes. And a lot of the people that voted for him either didn't come out or voted for Donald Trump.
Yeah.
Like that is,
yeah.
They wanted, I mean, they want to feel like shit is, they want to feel like it's possible. And I really do think this Obamacare debacle has left people very hungry for single payer health care. Like if you started floating that now, to just, and like I said, you can't do it without it being filtered through Sean Hannity and fucking,
you know, worse than
else.
That. No, worse than, I mean, that's the least of the problems of that. You got to get it through the Democratic Party first, which is a neoliberal corporate party. They're anti-egalitarian. They don't believe in kind of universal programs. Like the big knock on Bernie's free college program is that rich people could go to college for free. And
yeah.
It's just like, that's not the fucking point. Like A, it's easy to understand. B, it creates a kind of a real sense of solidarity across everyone in the country if it's something that everyone can take advantage of, regardless of who they are or what their income bracket is. But the biggest point is that it's just simple. It's simple for anyone to understand.
Yes. Yeah, it really is. And everybody, I talk to a lot of people. I drive people around, which Lyft customers are liberal, usually. You'll get a lot of like Trump supporting Lyft customers. Really. But like, I mean, I grew up with a lot of these people and I don't know any of them that would be opposed if the government was like, we're going to give you free health care. Like, I don't know where this outcry comes from.
I just feel like if people really knew what like health care was like in France, where like, let's say you like get hit by a car, you fall off your bike or like have a heart attack. Like you go to the hospital. Like you stay overnight, like they check you out, and like then you pay like $70 or $80 or something like that.
Yes, yes, that sounds beautiful, man. That is my dream. I'm afraid to. I have so much anxiety around going to the doctor that like adding the financial anxiety to it is just. I don't know why they don't just. I don't know how you take it to people though. Like I said, I don't know how I get like. People like us need to be able to just talk about it. Like there needs to be a place where people are talking about it in practical ways. Like, well, listen, everybody gets it. Like everybody, it's not going to affect you differently from anybody. They're not going to take the, just no more, whatever the money they're taking for insurance. That's, they'll probably take less than even that. You know,
the place to discuss this is podcasts.
Right. Yeah.
Well, dude, I saw a lot of people say that they're joining DSA, Democratic Socialists of America, because of us and you guys, and delete your account.
It's weird. I
got messages from a lot of people who are like, I'm a DSA organizer. People like in California and elsewhere, they're saying like, after the election, like all these new people, like they're joining and they want to join up because they've cited specifically all three of our shows.
Yeah,
I've heard that from numerous people. Yeah.
I've sent people actually in my, one of the things about like, is that like a lot of the people in my everyday life aren't like us, you know, aren't like anarchists or even socialists or don't pay attention to these things. And they're much happier for it. And when Trump won, they kind of freaked out and were worried. And I pointed a few of them in the way of the DSA just because Larry Website's a dude I've met and I trust that guy and he seems like a good guy and socialists are good and it is cool that people are joining up and being pushed in that direction. I don't know if I can do that because like I always feel like I'm trying to do the comedian thing right now and just I don't want to end up being Andy Richter.
Yeah, no, I mean, like, trust me, man, immediately after the show ended and we were like, holy shit, Trump is going to be president. Like, we were, dude, Felix, Matt and I, we were freaking out because it was like we told ourselves over and over again, like, oh, God, if Trump wins, the show's going to suck. Like, how do we not, like, if Trump wins, how do we not just become like John Oliver or The Daily Show?
It's I think that we're grappling weirdly with that, too. The first thing I said before Brett and I recorded is like we have never done Street Fight under a Republican president.
Yeah.
And it's weird.
I'm encouraged like with the early signs of people being more fed up with the Democrats, because I mean, like, I think the real story of this election is like, Trump didn't turn out any huge mass of people. He lost the popular vote. Basically, he had the same people that voted for Romney and McCain in the last two elections. It's just the Democrats suck and they fucking blew it. And if you're really angry, if you're really afraid, or you really wanted Hillary Clinton to be president, you should be more angry at her than even I am, because she sold you out. She sold you out. She dicked around. She ran a terrible campaign. It's her fault. It's her fault. Yeah. It's the Democrats' fault. You should be angry at them. If you can start from that position, then we can maybe do something productive. But if you just like if you're just still like, oh, it's just so unfair, Trump is such a bad man, blah, blah, blah. Like, just, I mean, get over yourself.
It's rednecks. One of those.
Yeah, it's redneck. Yeah, yeah. It's just the country's rednecks. Just so racist, blah, blah, blah. It's like, dude, of course the country's racist. Okay. You're not telling any, it's not anything new to say that, but it's just like,
they're open to a black president,
though. Dude, all those states voted for Obama twice.
I know.
I mean, like, I know. It must have been something, right? Like,
yeah, yeah. I think the encouragement for, I think that the way that we do this is just remember you're not a Democrat. Like, now we have to remember, like, okay, the guy in power is a Republican. We have to attack Republicans now.
No, we have to attack the Democrats first. This is like on the, they're weak right now. They must be attacked ruthlessly mercy.
I think you can't ignore the Republicans anymore.
No.
Like, you, I think one of the things, and I said this on Delete Your Account, you can't just look at my screenshots. You can't just look at those as a goofy outlier thing.
Right, right. Anymore. Yeah.
Those are fucking real. That's real.
Yeah, yeah. The all the teacot memes are like coming true now.
Yes, and all the teacot meme people are in power. You know,
that is terrifying.
Sheriff
that, yeah.
with the cowboy hat, the black oh, sheriff man. With the cowboy hat. The fucking...
Dude, we were talking the other day about how like the possible Trump cabinet fixes is like one of those teacot memes from like 2012 or whatever, where it's like ideal cabinet. Alan West, Secretary of Defense. You know? Yeah,
Piro
Sheriff, Sheriff
Supreme
David
Court.
Clark. Yeah, yeah. Exactly.
Janine Pirro on the Supreme Court could
like
have, or Judge Judy.
Yeah, Rush Limbaugh. Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, just all of these, oh, my God. Someone said it like, or the Trump transition team, someone had a funny tweet where it's like, it looks like a Mortal Kombat character select screen.
It's terrifying. It really is all those people that I laughed at. I've been laughing at for...
Oh yeah,
for like 4 years. Just
how could you not? Because I mean, that's the thing. How could you not? They are hilarious. But like now, you're right. Now it's not a joke. Like now, like I said, that President Donald Trump was a joke to me until it wasn't.
Yeah,
and then it happened like in real time.
Yeah, they believe in this. This is real news to them. This is the real world to a lot of people. It's not funny, and they're not fucking dying off. And
but,
we have to reckon
but
ourselves.
Yeah, exactly. Like demographics are like, it's, you can't just wait until like they die off or like America becomes a non-white country. Like that's already too late.
Yeah,
you got to take them seriously. Like I said, we are living in like a fucking horror movie right now, but. You can't combat it and you can't really go forward until you deal with the fact that like the supposedly the opposition party is like completely worthless and needs to be gutted entirely, or we just need to go in another way and direction entirely.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. We need to just, if the Democratic Party isn't fixed, then you got to take the street fight course of action.
Yeah, absolutely.
Just blow it all the fuck up. But yeah, I like, yeah, that's true. I mean, I always attack liberals cause they're fun. After.
But like, here's the problem: is like they've for the last decade at least have promised people nothing other than like we'll protect you from the worst option, and now they can't do that.
Yeah.
So it's just like, well, like what use are they? Nothing.
Yep.
I mean, they're useless. Like they've failed in every regard. They've failed to make the country a more humane, better place. They've just, what they've done is just made it get evil slightly slower than we're going to see now.
Yeah.
And even that I'm sort of doubting as I say it.
Yeah. I don't know what's good. I don't think it's hard. I'm getting a little more. I hate that all these ghouls are going to be behind him, you know, doing things, and he might lose
just,
interest or whatever.
Just monsters. Just absolute.
But
just vampires. Unbelievable.
A thing before we end the show, I'm not going to keep you much longer. A thing that I always hang my hat on is that, like the dude is a carny. He's like a performer, and I'm a performer, and I wish I was a carny. I try. I can't rip people off. I suck at it.
You're too honest.
I just want to give them something good.
Or you're just
good.
Too soft-hearted, yeah.
Yeah, I want them to pay and get something good. Carnies don't care what you get after they get your money.
Yeah.
But I want to be liked by people. Like, I don't want people to hate me. And Donald Trump, I think, has a healthy dose of that in him that some other presidents might not have. You know, he just really, I know he puts off an air like he doesn't give a shit, but I think that, like, people's opinions really bother him. And I think we may be able to sway him.
Yeah, I think that's probably right.
Yeah. I just know the desperation of him. He is a carnival barker. The guy has been doing everything he can to be on TV all the way to the presidency. Like, he started this a long time ago, like, I'm going to be on TV. I think I could get on TV and be a celebrity. That's what I'm going to do. And now he's the fucking president.
All right. I'll just leave you guys with this last thing. My favorite moment from Tuesday night this week. It was like 3 a.m. I just come home from a bar that was like the saddest fucking bar experience I've ever been in my life. It was really grim. Coming up just drunk at 3 a.m. Just need to get some stupid drunk food to put in myself so I can go to sleep. I'm at the Crown Fried Chicken joint in my neighborhood. It's like 3 a.m. I'm the only guy in there with, like, the Egyptian guys who run it. And I'm, like, looking at my phone, and the guy behind the counter, like, he's like, hey, like, what's up with the election? He's like asking for news about it. And I'm like, ooh, buddy. And he was like, did Hillary win New York? Which is a weird thing to ask. And I was like,
yeah,
yes, she did. But I was like, I got news for you, though. It's not going to matter. I was like, Donald Trump's going to be the president. I was like, and I'm just telling the guys at the Crown Fried Chicken at 3 a.m. that the former host of Celebrity Apprentice is now in charge of the most powerful country in the world. That was, yeah, I was like, that's when it really sunk in for me.
It seems like it's going to be so easy to take down this government when he, like, with this guy there. Like, we started Street Fight at a time, and one of the reasons we loved doing it was that, like, we felt like the first people in our lives are the first people that said, fuck America, like, into a microphone. That's really, I felt like that was, like, the most edgy thing to just be like, you know what, America fucking sucks, and fuck it, and I'm not proud of it. You know? But now we started that from a place of maybe we can bring other people to thinking this way. And now it's like all I got to do is be like, look at the president.
Well, like I said, I was nervous, but now I feel, even though the country at large is doomed, I feel the Street Fight Chapo allies are, I think we're going to be going strong.
Yeah, we're going to kill this fucking thing, man. We're going to be the John Oliver and Bill Maher of this next election.
Yeah, their time is over. They're done.
I know. They're
dinosaurs. They're fossils. They're over. It's all podcasts now. It's the podcast revolution.
And it's beautiful, man, because we're like, I really do genuinely feel like the five of us are the five, and Virgil and Amber both, we're a fucking Nick Mullen. All those guys are like an insurgent force now.
Yeah, because, like, yeah, we did, like, this shit, like, just on totally on our own. And again, it was 100% Street Fight, like, listening to you guys and then coming on the show, that was just like, shit, I could do this. Like, just like the self-produced, just like, you know, just punk, like, just like completely outside any sort of, like, mainstream system of, like, entertaining people or putting something creative out in the world. Just do it 100% yourself. And, like, that's the only way to do it.
It's the ICP model.
Yes.
The Psychopath Records model, yes. That we're all going by right now.
Dude, we need to have our own fucking Juggalo Fest, but, like, for
podcasts.
That's
happening.
Yeah.
That's I mean, like, that's the thing.
Yes, Chapo Con 2017. Like,
not being a part of that, you know, LA podcast fest scene and shit like that, just being not that is what I just want to be not. I don't want to be a serious, I don't know, it's weird. It's fucking this weird thing where it's like,
well,
those guys have taken comedy very seriously. Okay, those guys take like, oh, Lenny Bruce, you know, I look up to him and shit like that. And I'm like, I don't want to take that seriously, and I don't want to take politics seriously. I just want to do my fucking thing.
I like what Felix said, that with Chapo, our curse will be, we'll get as popular as Marc Maron, but all we'll talk about is just our depression and anxiety.
That is what gets me. It's like, that is the thing that freaks me out. It's like, am I going to turn into, but I think you guys are, I really do think you guys are doing like really great, angry, cutting shit. And I feel like we're doing a lot. We're a lot more cutting, and we're a lot more angry, and we were working on this show a lot more than we had for a couple years leading up to Brett moving back to Columbus, and now we're really working hard to sharpen this fucking thing and make it a stick. And it feels like you guys have helped us, so like anything we've done to help you feels great. Because
absolutely,
like I said,
and like
you've,
I said,
got people out to see
2017,
us.
We want to come to Columbus. We want to do a show in Columbus with you guys.
We're definitely making that.
Yeah,
happen.
Let's start planning that, dude.
Well, thanks, man. Thanks for doing this show with me.
Absolutely. My best to Brett. I hope his teeth and jaw feels better soon.
I'm on my way to his house right now. You know what I did for him? I took him 4 firecrackers.
Oh, I saw that on Facebook. He was like, when you can't smoke and your man comes through. Hell yeah. That's true friend hours.
Yeah. Now I'm going to head over there and hang with him. But thanks for doing this again,
no
man.
Problem. My best to Brett and all the Street Fight fans. All
right.
Cheers.
Paper out your mouth.
Get paid, young nigga, get paid. Get paid, young nigga, get paid. Get paid, young nigga, get paid. Whatever you do, just make sure you get paid. Get paid, young nigga, get paid. Get paid, young nigga, get paid. So big that it came with a maid. Get paid, young nigga, get paid. Rule number 1,
what's that?
Get the money first,
okay.
Rule number 2,
what?
Don't forget to get the money,
hey.
Play by these rules and everything will be okay,
yep.
Still in my trap, flipping my Frito-Lays,
hey.
Go get the money, it ain't nothing that's important to me,
nah.
I showed her a Xanax, she hurry up and took it.
Ooh.
I fucked her so good, she got up and started cooking.
Damn.
Rolling up big blunts, out a pound of cookies. If you ain't got 40 bands, then you can't book me,
nope.
Pull up on the side, your bitch, she wouldn't stop looking,
yeah.
That bitch good as took it,
yep.
Good as gone. I guarantee tonight, my nigga, that bitch ain't coming home. I got money to count,
no,
I got bitches to fuck,
yep.
Got packs to flip, pistol to bust.
Fuck.
When I was small, I ain't have nothing.
Damn.
Started selling dope and prayed to God for a plug. He showed up and said,
pay
young nigga, get paid. Get paid, young nigga, get paid.
Get
paid, young nigga, get paid. Whatever you do, just make sure you get paid. Get paid, young nigga, get paid. Get paid, young nigga, get paid. Crib so big that it came with a maid. Get paid, young nigga, get paid. Get paid, nigga. Get paid, bitch. On some rich nigga shit, we on the same shit. Me and my Memphis Grizzly partner fuck the same bitches.
What?
The only difference is I'm a trap nigga.
Yeah.
Don't you hear it in my voice when I rap, nigga?
Yeah.
On South Beach with E Fees and throwing stacks, nigga.
Ooh.
Turn to the match, nigga.
Stop.
Facts, nigga.
Yeah.
She met me for the first time, didn't know how to act, nigga. Double R parked in my motherfucker front yard. Trap jumping like the motherfucking Million Man March. If she ain't got a fat ass, then she can't get up in this car. I can tell. Is that ass real or fake, bad how she walks? Get paid, young nigga, get paid. Get paid, young nigga, get paid.
Get
paid, young nigga, get paid. Whatever you do, just make sure you get paid. Get paid, young nigga, get paid. Get paid, young nigga, get paid. Crib so big that it came with a maid. Get paid, young nigga, get paid.
Shitting on the industry.